Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
In the world of basketball, they say March is full of madness. But here in baseball land, Jesse Agler says March is something else entirely.
You never know what can happen in the month of March.
Right.
March is a fickle mistress.
Right. And that fickle mistress has brought us spring training games. And Randy Jones here trying to help Jesse figure out exactly how many days until opening day.
You do the math. Jesse,
I hate math.
Well, it's less than 1 month away. But now, broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona for Padres spring training, it's Padres Social Hour with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome. It's Padres Social Hour. We're out here in Peoria, Arizona. We got a fun show for you today. Baseball is in full swing, and welcome. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler. You're showing me up, man. You're like,
oh, Jesse, come on.
You're dressed all official. You got the uniform pants and you got the turf shoes and a nice pullover.
I get my 2.5 weeks to put the uniform back on and getting together with the boys, and I love it.
I got to say, you look pretty good, man, in there. You fit right in the uniform. You look like you could still get some guys out.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, it's funny. You get in here, maybe you haven't put it on for about a year, and it's muscle memory, man. You just throw the uniform on, and we've done it so many times, and so far, it's been great out here.
That's awesome. You're working with the pitchers. I definitely want to talk to you about that, get your insight and your observations on all of that. We got a fun show coming up. Matt Kemp is going to join us, so that'll be fun.
That'll be awesome.
We'll talk to Matt Kemp with a special cameo from both Justin Upton and Will Middlebrooks. You'll have to stay tuned to find out what that's all
that's
about.
That's just a surprise to me.
Yes, that's a surprise. Also, we'll hear from Dennis Lynn of the UT and Bob Scanlon. We'll talk some pitching with him as well. Randy, a lot of pitching questions. People love talking pitching. They love talking bullpen. Fifth starter. We'll do all of that. But let's talk a little bit about you, Lefty. You've been – tell everybody basically what you've been doing here and looking all fancy in your uniform.
Well, you know, the great thing is getting to know the players, our new players, and just watching the players interact. And, you know, I watch the pitchers. I watch all the bullpens. I watch some of the younger guys and how they handle themselves, how they approach things. And it's not so much about mechanics, Darren Bosley, and the coaches there. They take care of all that. If I see something, I might tell Darren if I see something fundamentally that I have a question about. But overall, it's their mental approach and how they go about getting ready for a game in between starts. You know, how do they approach their bullpens and, you know, little things that might help. I might add a little something that I used to do or, you know, things that worked real well for me. And if I think they'll fit for them, I'll kind of single them out usually during batting practice, and we'll talk a little bit.
That's pretty cool. So, of course, it's not just what a guy is doing when he's out on the mound for those 9 innings or however many innings it might be. It's all the other stuff, too.
Sure. Yeah. You know, just how they carry themselves, or, you know, are they acting confident, or are they showing maybe a little bit of doubt out there? And, you know, if I see that, you know, I'm going to give them a friendly reminder that you just can't let a hitter get that comfortable. You know, I mean, if you don't feel that confident, fake it, you know. Don't let the hitter know.
It's like a blooper. It's like Seth when he produces our show.
That's right.
He has no confidence whatsoever, but he comes off like he has a little.
Yeah.
That's sort of the same thing.
By the way, too, I know I'm in Bill Center's chair, man, because if I fall out of the chair, don't blame me. He's huge.
He stretched it out a little bit?
Yeah, I did.
All right, we'll get you some better chairs when we get back to Petco for the regular season. All right, so that's pretty cool. Another neat thing, I think, is for some of these games, you're down in the dugout, so you're getting to watch things from a really good, close perspective. When you're here, what are you picking up from the dugout that, like, I can't pick up from the press box or what a fan can't pick up from the third row behind home plate, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, what I really like so far is the camaraderie. You got a lot of guys trying to get to know each other, you know, and I think everybody right now, I like to use the old phrase, you know, pulling together on that rope, and that's exactly what they're doing. I like the team atmosphere. I like the energy level there, even in spring training. It's gotten a little more competitive, which I wanted to see. Expectations from the players seem to be a little bit more, and I'm enjoying that. I wanted to see that, and you know, I love the competition. I think you need that day in and day out if you're going to play your best. You need that, and it's definitely in there. Like starting pitching, I mean, what you're going to find this year in our five starters that, you know, they're going to start trying to outdo each other. Somebody's going to go out and, you know, pitch a 3-hit shutout, and the guy right behind him is going to go out there and try to match that or even do better. And that's what kind of that pushes you, keeps you going. And I see a lot of that might be going on already here.
Are you predicting a no-hitter this year? Is that what you just did?
I am. Tell you what.
I'm going to put you in that position this is.
Hey, we're getting closer and closer. I can tell you that right now. You know, with the guys we have and Shields and Tyson Ross looks just great right now. Andrew Cashner looks like he's ready to, you know, finally stay healthy and make 35 starts for us. That'll
nice.
Be important.
I like that. I like the way all of that sounds. We'll talk about this with scans a little bit coming up, but I feel like one of the most regular questions I've received from fans this spring, and I'll throw it at you because you're in a great position to talk about it for a lot of reasons, is are the Padres going to go into the season with five right-handed starters in their rotation? There's a very real possibility that that happens. You look at the guys battling it out for the fifth spot, and it's Despaigne, and it's Whistler, and it's Erlin, and it's Morrow, and there's one lefty just out of that group right Robbie Erlin. So the odds are there's a real chance that they go in with five right-handed starters in the rotation. Does that bother you at all, lefty?
That really doesn't bother me at all. I mean, you want your five best arms in your five-man rotation, and right now it might turn out that way. And Robbie Erlin has an outside chance, but you know he's got to impress honestly here in spring training in his next regular starts, because we got some great arms here. You talk about Brandon Morrow, and I like his makeup and what I've seen from him, and Despaigne's looked very, very comfortable. It's not going to be easy when you have to make that selection, but right now I think we're leaning toward a five-man rotation, all right-handers. But I think the one thing we do know is these five guys have different styles. So left side, right side, I saw Boone.
You're not throwing the same guy out there every night.
And Bruce Bochy, many times he went out, he had to go out there with five, right-handed starters, and we did just fine. And I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I'd like to throw this out there, too, that not to sound too much like Buddy Black or Darren Balsley, because it sounds like something they might say, but the odds that you're going through the entire season with just five starting pitchers are basically slim to none for any team. It's just not reality.
Exactly. And I really think that we have so much talent, on the pitching side. There's going to be, three or four, maybe even five guys disappointed they don't make the staff. And what they have to realize, though, is they're right. You might be even on a two-week disabled list. Maybe it's a groin pull or something, one of your starters or one of your pitchers. So even those guys that don't make the 25-man roster, they got to get down to AAA and stay ready, because I know that. And it's nothing sometimes if they start going down, you could use 30 pitchers before the year's out.
Hey, RJ, it's not a burger chain, a pitching rotation. It's not just five guys.
That's right.
You need more than five guys over there. I've been holding on to that line for 2 weeks. It is so bad.
That's so good.
But it's true. It's probably going to take more than five guys to fill out this rotation over the course of the season. And it's really easy in spring training to get wrapped up in who the five guys are and in what order they will appear. But you get like 2 weeks into the season, and most of that goes out the window usually.
Yeah, you can complicate it too. I mean, what's going to be Josh Johnson – some point in time, if he's healthy and he's ready to come back, he might fill that void. And so somebody's struggling as well. And once again, I love that concept when you have that much pitching depth. If somebody's struggling a little bit, I don't know how patient they're going to be.
Josh Johnson, by the way, if you're wondering, probably mid, late May, maybe early June, if everything stays on track, if everything stays on schedule, to be able to appear in a major league game again. And, of course, that's quite some time from now. So he's a name to keep in the back of your mind, but that's kind of where he is as he works himself back from the Tommy John
surgery. But I've been very, very impressed with the pitching. And, I knew that was going to be a strong point from last year, and I don't see it getting worse. It should get better.
All right, we'll talk more pitching with Bob Scanlon coming up next. We got Dennis Lynn coming up later, also Matt Kemp coming up later. RJ, some Twitter questions for you and I coming up in a little bit as well. Minor League Clubhouse, you're spending some time with those guys as well. And this is something I was kind of curious about. I was just thinking this week, as you and I were eating lunch the other day. The Big League Clubhouse, you got like the 60 guys in there or whatever it is, and you got the coaches and the managers, and you kind of start to feel who the leaders are and where that leadership comes from. But in the Minor League Clubhouse, it's for all those guys in minor league camp and mini camp. There are so many players in there, and they're all going to different places. What's the dynamic like in there for somebody that maybe doesn't even realize that that's a whole other thing going on here in Arizona?
Well, the one thing you got to realize, you've got probably around 67, 68 pitchers, arms, here in spring training in the minor league camp. And that's just not everyday players. I'm just talking about arms, pitchers. And what I've been really impressed with, and Mark Pryor and the organization from the staff, and that's where your leadership comes from there. They've got a throwing program. They're actually, putting some real fundamental basic stuff that everybody's going to do. And that's one thing you need at every level. You need to be saying the same thing. But I know the other day, in hearing a couple of speeches, I heard the word expectations two or three times. And that's what I want to hear. I mean, you need to put a little pressure on these kids, I think, in the minor leagues, and have expectations of performing and doing well and doing the right things. And that's what I want to hear down there, and make it competitive. I've been very, very impressed with what I've seen. A lot of great arms. I haven't seen too many pitchers, but I've seen some great arms. Guys throwing the ball well but don't know how to pitch.
Well, that's something that happens in time. That's why they're in the minor league.
That's why you're in the minor league. That's what you're supposed to learn. And I love the pitching staff, everybody they've got down there, from Bert Hooten in Fort Wayne, Broswell Patrick in AAA, and talking to these guys and what they try to achieve. And you know, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, and hopefully they're going to be coachable and we'll listen to these coaches.
You talk about expectations too. I think, you know, for most players, right, from a player perspective, you like having those expectations. You want to have expectations. That's just sort of part of that competitive drive that a lot of these guys have.
It's just healthy.
Yeah.
It makes the game healthy. It helps you perform, you know, to your maximum. You're going to be the best you can be. I think right now it's no doubt that we have a little competition going in, you know, who the extra outfielders are going to be. And it's very, very interesting.
Good for business.
Yeah, it's good, really good for business. And the guys that are competing for those spots, they've stepped their game up already here in spring training, and I really like seeing that.
You know what? This is a lot of fun talking to you. It's been too long, RJ.
I know that.
This is good. Look at you, man.
Come on.
You're like official.
I'm ready to go.
You are ready to go. All right, we got plenty of good stuff coming up. I'm Matt Kemp, as we said, also Dennis Lynn and Bob Scan. They'll do some pitching talk with Scans when we come back. Time now, though, for the picture of the day presented by Sony. The picture of the day is taken on the new Sony RX10 camera. Visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check it out today. Spring training batting practice. The guys hanging around the cage getting ready to hit on field one here at the Peoria Sports Complex. It's a magical, magical time of year.
Magical.
Magical.
I
it's
like
a good
that
word for
That's
spring
a good
training.
Word.
We'll take a break, come back, talk some pitching with Bob Scanlon right after this.
Your San Diego Padres are in Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex for spring training. And so are we. This is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour from Peoria. Welcome back with, who are you? Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Hagler. Hope everybody's having a great spring training so far. Hope you've had an opportunity to come to Peoria or plan your trip to Peoria because, as we said before the break, it's magical. This is for a fan. Man, it's tough to beat spring training.
It's good, you know, and you know, you probably already talked about it, but you know, noticing a lot more fans out here,
yeah,
getting involved and jumping on the wagon, and well, you should. It's
yeah,
a good ball club.
We were in surprise the other day for the game against Kansas City, and you know, the Royals, they're the defending American League champions, and you know, they're drawing pretty well. We were walking around the concourse before the game, and there were a lot of Padres shirts there, and
yes,
it was just really neat, you know, a road game on a weekday afternoon. And the Padre fans were there in surprise for that game, and they've been coming out to the home games. Look, we've said it a million times, and with good reason, but there's a different vibe around this club this year,
sure,
and there should be, and that includes the fans.
You bet, and no doubt. And you know, you've been waiting quite a few years maybe to assemble a ball club that has the opportunities that this one has, and no doubt the fans are going to get behind this, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some more pitching, Lefty.
Yes.
You're holding the microphone with your left hand because you are a left-hander.
Of course.
And Bob Scanlon, right-hander. But a guy that I really enjoy talking pitching with, like I do with you, because he knows a lot more about it than I do, like you do. So Scan stopped by earlier in the week, and I asked him that question I asked you a little while ago. Is the fact that the Padres could go into the season without a left-handed starter in their rotation something we should be discussing?
Well, it's always nice if you have a balance, let's not lie. Okay, I mean, it's nice if maybe you have three starters, a couple of lefties, maybe one lefty. So if you are facing that lineup in the league that has a bunch of left-handed hitters, obviously that makes sense. And it also gives you a little bit of diversity on your bullpen and be able to spread guys out a little bit. That being said, I'll take the guys that are throwing the ball well, right? I mean, if you're right-handed, if you're left-handed, if you're making good pitches, if you've got electric stuff, if you're getting guys out, it really doesn't matter. So I'm taking the best five guys that are throwing the ball. I don't care if they're left-handed or right-handed. If they happen to be right-handed coming out of this camp, so be it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think we kind of know what to expect from, you know, guys like Shields and Cashner and Ross,
yeah,
and Kennedy. Brandon Morrow, Odorizzi Meredith-Espana going for that fifth spot. Early on from Morrow, you know, just very, very early on here. What do you say?
Well, so far I see a guy that's basically, he's pacing himself a little bit. Now, granted, he needs to win a job, as does Despaigne and Whistler and Robbie Erlund, but at the same time, this is a guy that's a little bit more experienced. He has a great off-speed pitch, has a good split finger, which he's bringing back, which he put on the shelf for a couple of years, Jesse. And I said, well, why is it back? He says, it just feels good. I'm like, okay, hey, if it's back, it's back. That's a wonderful thing. So he has good stuff. He's an experienced guy, and I think that that's the guy they would like to see step up and be the Brandon Morrow that we've seen in the past, that can be electric, that can be dominating, because if he's that guy, all of a sudden you've got five guys at the top that on any given day nobody really wants to face.
I think Buddy said something the other day. He was asked, and you know, he doesn't have back of the rotation stuff when he's on, and he's a
right
guy competing Brandon Morrow for the fifth spot, but when he is at his best, he's not a fifth starter.
No, exactly, and it's kind of neat because I had a chance to see him back in his collegiate days when I was doing some play-by-play for UC Irvine. We were playing Berkeley, and I saw him as a sophomore. 87 to 90 miles an hour. I mean, it was interesting, but basically just a guy, nothing electric. He comes back the next year, and he's the opening day starter for Berkeley. And I'm asking people, what happened? Well, during the summer, all of a sudden, he started throwing 97 miles an hour. Like, really? I got to see this. Sure enough, he came out, just blew our guys away, and it's been a great ride for him ever since. Number one pick, you know the rest of the story. But as you said, when he is on, not fifth starter-type stuff. He's a top-of-the-rotation-type guy.
All right, let's do some bullpen talk now. Same kind of situation. You sort of expect this guy to be there and that guy to be there, but there are some new faces. Let me start with Maurer from Seattle. Comes over in the Seth Smith trade. Also electric kind of stuff that we've seen.
That was the word I was going to use. I mean, he has been absolutely so impressive. Again, a guy that was a starter, he's made that transition to the bullpen. We knew he was going to have good stuff coming in, but you stand here and you look at these bullpens that are behind us and watching guys throw, and all of a sudden you see the ball coming out of his hand. You see how the catcher's receiving it. You see the catcher doesn't have to move his glove, and it's getting in there about 95 miles an hour, nice and smooth. This guy has been amazing, as has Marcus Mateo, another exciting guy. Had a great Winter League, Dominican Winter League Player of the Year, MVP of that league, and he's shown why here. He's just been outstanding also, Jesse. Great stuff, overpowering type stuff. And when we talk about the rotation, there's one spot available. When you look at this bullpen, it was one of the most effective bullpens in baseball last year, as you know. But not by overpowering guys. Now you've got a bunch of power arms that are coming in here as well. I think that's an interesting situation that maybe there might be some prizes before it's all said and done.
I agree with that. And another guy that's sort of making it interesting right now in the bullpen is Jose Valverde.
Yes.
Veteran closer who, you know, has just really, you know, had some troubles the last little bit. But then, kind of like Mateo, great winter ball, and he sort of seems to have picked up right where he left off here in spring training.
No question about it. And in talking to him, he acknowledged and said, look, my fastball was down. I came out of Detroit, I think it was because I'd just thrown too much. His fastball was down 89, 91 miles an hour, which is not the Valverde that was dominating for so many years as a closer. He said, but I've gotten some rest the last couple of years. As you mentioned, Jesse, he had a great winter ball. Our international scouts are on it. They see him throwing 95 to 97 miles an hour. I said, hey, come on into camp. The other thing, I don't know if you've watched him, but he's been changing his arm slots a little bit too. Dropping down at times, and said, hey, I'm going to give you a little bit of a different look. So the splitty's been nasty in his first couple of outings. All of a sudden, a guy that maybe you thought was coming into camp just to be a backup type guy, all of a sudden, I think he's trying to kick the door in.
Yeah, which is fun to watch. And I guess that's what you want to happen if you're
AJ
Preller or Buddy Black or anybody else on the coaching staff or in the front office. It's been a really neat thing watching these pitchers go out there and work. And I know for me, I love to build on a strength, and that seems to be the deal here in the bullpen.
No question. You're building on the strength. And Ballsley and I were talking about it a week ago, and we were talking about all the power arms that you see and how, you know, we're seeing some of these power arms here. He goes, yeah, but you know what, Scan? We actually had one of the lowest average fastball velocities of bullpens in all of Major League Baseball last year. That being said, it was still one of the most effective bullpens in all of Major League Baseball. So it's great to talk about the stuff, but you still have to get guys out. This bullpen has already done it. As you said, it's already been a strength. Maybe it'll get even stronger.
Your San Diego Padres are in Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex for spring training. And so are we. This is Padres Social Hour.
Beautiful, beautiful here in Peoria. Padres Social Hour continues. Randy Jones, Jesse Agler, thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We got some baseball coming up. How about that? Padres and the Rangers here on Fox Sports San Diego. John Daniels, the GM of the Rangers. AJ Preller, the GM of the Padres. These guys were like best friends and roommates in college at Cornell, and now they are both general managers of major league teams. I know that that story has been told a bunch so far, but I don't know that it is like totally sunk in for some. That's insane.
Two guys
were college roommates. They now have two of the 30 GM jobs in all of baseball.
I'd love to hear those conversations, you know, when they were going to school together.
Right.
And if it was something that they even talked about at some point in time. You know, it's like the ballpark. I mean, I go down to the minor leagues, and, you know, it kind of revives your energy, you know, in baseball when you see these young kids chasing the dream. I mean, they're trying to get to the big leagues, you know, and they want to play baseball. And I just wonder if they were talking about that in college, about you being in the front office, you know, of a couple of professional teams. What are the odds of that?
Yeah, and of course, they ended up in the same front office. They ended up in the Texas front office. But now for AJ to have sort of moved on and moved up to become the general manager here in San Diego, I mean, it's an incredible story. It's a really, really neat thing. And so, Rangers and Padres coming up. All right, we got Matt Kemp in a few minutes. First, though, we're going to hear from Dennis Lynn of the UT. He's here, obviously, most days covering the team. And we spoke a little while ago, and I asked him, hey, man, a little bit of a different vibe here in 2015 than last year.
Yeah, definitely. Very different. Everyone's playing basketball, very loose in the clubhouse. I think these guys are, you know, excited to see how this grand experiment works out.
You talk about loosening the clubhouse. As you're sort of walking around in there talking to guys, doing your thing as a newspaper reporter, what sort of strikes you generally about the mood of that room, I guess?
It's just, like I said, I think it's a little more relaxed than last year, which is funny because they have all these expectations this year. But these guys are, you know, guys like Buddy Black said, they have that look in their eye. They want to win. They want to prove people wrong. It's just a whole new set of expectations. I think these guys are ready to go and show what they can do, and they're trying to keep it loose, and that's kind of the best way to, you know, kind of foster that. So it's a little different than last year when there were, I guess, more position battles in a sense. There are still position battles. There's a lot of competition in this camp, but they're ready to have fun.
Pitching wise, it's a little less interesting to write about and talk about than it was last year, right? Because you really only have one spot up for grabs in the rotation. And we've talked a lot about pitching on this show today, but the bullpen is kind of interesting, right? I mean, there's some really, really good guys that are coming back and some really, really good guys that have been added to the mix. What do you make of the relief corps?
Yeah, it feels like there are about a dozen good relievers in camp right now. So and there are going to be some tough decisions at the end of camp, maybe a trade or two. Other teams have needs. But when you add Brandon Maurer, Sean Kelly to the bullpen, that's kind of similar to what we saw with Kansas City power arms coming out of the bullpen. Everyone wants three closers in the bullpen. No one can do it. So I think A.J. Preller is probably giving his best shot there. But if they do what they did last year, which is really good, they're going to be pretty good. And then they added two pieces on top of that.
What are you looking for moving forward here now that we sort of enter the third week of games? The eye become a little bit more discerning with in-game results, that kind of thing?
Yeah, especially on the pitching front, as we just talked about. Ian Kennedy the other day threw 1 2/3 innings, got his pitches in, but you got to stretch out. The rotation, they pitched really well last season, and even though they had James Shields, you figure there might be a little regression somewhere, so they're going to have to, you know, pick it up, make sure they're all feeding off each other. I think that fifth spot with Brandon Morrow and Adrisa Merdespani is going to be really interesting. Matt Whistler and Rob Uhrle and also figuring in. But the pitching, if they can pitch like they did last year, they're going to be pretty good. But if the pitching takes a step back, then they have something to worry about. But the pitching, I think, will be very interesting to watch over the coming weeks.
All right, really fun to get the reporter's perspective on the 2015 Padres so far. We'll talk to Dennis, of course, throughout the season. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
We're back to Padres Social Hour, broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex at San Diego Padres Spring Training.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour from the Peoria Sports Complex in Peoria, Arizona with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. RJ, it's that time. We're going to put you on the old Cholula hot seat.
Love it.
Don't let it burn you up too badly. It's even hotter here in the desert. Did you know that?
I've noticed that.
The hot seat is even hotter in the desert. So, all right, RJ is on the Cholula hot seat because we've got fan Twitter questions coming in. I got them here on my handy-dandy smartphone, and we're going to lay these out. Some good questions from the fans here. A lot of pitching stuff, as you would expect at this time of year. And we're going to start with Alex. He wants to know, RJ, what pitcher has surprised / impressed you the most this spring? How about this? I'm going to change his question a little bit. I'm going to ask for a big leaguer and a guy that maybe everybody isn't talking about. He might be a big leaguer, but he might be a minor leaguer, might be a non-roster invitee. So a guy that we expect to be on the team that you've really enjoyed watching and a guy maybe that everybody isn't already talking about.
Well, I'd have to say Justin Hancock has impressed me the most. He's in big league camp, definitely a long shot to make the 25-man roster, but I've been really, really impressed with this young man on the mound, how he's going about his business and his mechanics and everything. He's working on a couple of things, but been very, very impressed with the work that he's been putting in. And I think the upside for him is pretty much unlimited right now. I really like what I see.
Nice. James Shields, what do you make of him so far?
Definitely going to be the leader of this five-man rotation. I think he's the real deal. Everything we talked about, and even when he mentioned, hey, our goal is for the five starters to pitch 1,000 innings. I mean, great stuff. I love that kind of stuff. But seeing him around, talking to the other pitchers and talking different concepts, different grips, how he approaches the game, you know, and like he realizes that it's not going to fit for everybody. But in talking to them, it gives them different ideas and how he approaches even his bullpens and how he approaches his starts and his routine. And that can really help him make a difference for these other kids.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Hancock. And it's always interesting sort of watching from day one of spring training through the end of the spring. There's generally a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere in a sense. And it's not out of nowhere for him, and it's not out of nowhere for the coaches.
True.
But for, like, fans and media, we're like, whoa, Jesse Hahn was that guy last year.
Exactly.
Jesse Hahn, at the beginning of spring training last year, you're like, yeah, he'll probably go to Double-A. You know, he'll pitch for the Missions. And by the end of spring training, he almost forced his way onto the big league roster. Is it that these guys are maybe ahead of where we think they are? Is it that a guy can just have it click all of a sudden? How does that happen in the course of one spring?
Well, number one, I think it just kind of clicks. That's what it happens, and you know, and I think that might be going on with Justin. I know he had a forearm strain last year, missed a couple of months during the season, you know, that really set him back. But now he's 100%. He had a little bit of fall league through a few innings, you know, just feeling great. And I think the one thing right now is the better he pitches the baseball when he gets on a mound, We got to kind of build that confidence up a little bit more. Be a little more aggressive on the mound. I'd like to see him take charge of the tempo of a game. I don't think he's quite there yet mentally, but you know, that's what I kind of been talking to him about. That I think it's time for him to step up and start doing that.
All right, it's funny you mentioned tempo because we have a tempo question up next. Ooh. A pace of game question. It comes from Friar Fever, RJ, and he says, with the new play clock this year, which starter do you think has the best shot at coming close to a Randy Jones special, the 89-minute complete game? Now, it takes two to tango.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen, is it? No 90-minute games this year,
no.
You don't think?
See, the only reason I could do an 89-minute game is, yeah, I was getting them out pretty quick, but their guy was getting our guys out pretty quick. And with our lineup, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get us out that quick, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I like that.
You know, no doubt. But if one guy is going to throw and flip a two-hour ball game, and it might be Andrew Cashner. Just the other day, you saw how dominant he could be. The third inning, he only threw 9 pitches for 3 outs. And when you start pitching to contact, being more efficient like he is, they can get pretty quick. Now, if you want to ask me about the clock and how effective that's going to be at shortening the games, there's no doubt in my mind it's going to cut at least 4.5 to 5 minutes off a game.
The in-between innings clock you're talking about.
Because that's at least 4.5, 5 minutes.
I hope you're right.
I hope that everybody feels better about the game will be 2 hours and 55 minutes instead of 3 hours.
Hey, every little bit, you know, helps. And I get that you're being a little bit sarcastic with the whole
me?
Thing. But let me tell you this, my own observation. And look, we're only like 2 weeks into spring training games here. I have not seen it help at all in spring training. Now, I don't know that all of the home plate umpires are particularly interested in enforcing this thing at this point.
That's correct.
And obviously in spring training, you have more pitching changes than you do in a regular season game. So that's slowing it up. But I have yet to notice really any difference here in spring training.
No,
I'm hoping that once the regular season rolls around, we'll take it a little more seriously.
They will. They're being a little lax, I think, with the hitters and they're keeping one foot in the box, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they'll step that up. I would think the last 10 days of spring training, you might see them amp that up a little bit to get a little more discipline from these hitters. And some guys are going to be very stubborn about it. That'll be interesting to see how they handle that. You know, I mean, somebody's talked about, well, if you don't adhere to it, they're going to fine you $500. And, you know, I can see one of these hitters just.
Yeah, David Ortiz, he'll write the check.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Here's 10 grand for the season.
Yeah, no, here's 10 grand for my
for
first 20 fines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that might happen as well. But, I mean, they're attempting to shorten the games, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction, I can say that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, again, I think it'll be a little bit different maybe in the regular season than it has been here in spring training. All right, Flyer Fan 28 wants to know if the Padres are any closer to finding an everyday shortstop. We've said this before. I don't know that there's going to be a guy you just pencil in at shortstop every
day. I will say one thing when you talk about this, folks. And Alexi Amarista looks absolutely outstanding. He is game ready right now. And to watch this young man grow the last 2 seasons with the San Diego Padres and being a utility player, Alexi Amarista is not a utility player. He's an everyday shortstop.
Okay.
And he definitely looks great out there. He's swinging the bat well. He's got the stamina and the strength to do 600-700 plate appearances. There's no doubt in my mind that right now I'm not concerned at all at shortstop. And with Clint Barmas behind him and his leadership and the veteran-type guy he is, we are absolutely solid at shortstop. I'm not worried one bit.
All right, you're not worried one bit.
No,
maybe then the interesting next question will be regarding the batting order, because as of a week or two ago, you said, you probably pencil that guy in to the 7th or 8th hole in the lineup.
Right.
Amarista's off to a fast start at the plate here in spring training. If that carries over into the regular season, all of a sudden it's a guy that kind of looks a little bit more like a prototypical leadoff hitter than, you know, maybe the Padres have on the roster. And I'm not suggesting that happens, but if the guy is getting on base and he's hitting the ball well, it's something to think about.
Yeah, he's making contact, and, you know, Buddy's not afraid to mix it up and see what can happen, and he'll definitely do that. And I think you will see Alexi in that leadoff spot a few games here in the spring. It may be a little bit deeper. You know, all of a sudden you start getting game ready. You know, you're pretty close. Pretty soon they're going to start getting game ready. And I think Alexi's probably going to get a couple opportunities to be up there and see what happens, how he responds.
All right, as usual, you're handling yourself very nicely on the Cholula hot seat. But I got one more for you, and this one's hot.
Hot.
You ready? It comes from Mike Pomerantz, our buddy on Fox Sports San Diego.
Really?
Yeah. Mike wants to know, Randy, are we going to see in a fancy suit and tie at all this season? He's asking wardrobe questions. What do you got for Pomerantz?
Pomerantz, I think the odds might be slim and none. You know, I like jeans. I like boots.
You can wear boots with a suit, can't you?
Oh, yeah, I've got them.
Yeah.
I've got boots to wear with a suit. But
is it
right
the ostrich?
Now, right now, it's not in my plans.
It's not in your plans. What about opening day, the home opener?
Not a
Everybody
chance.
Dresses
not
up for opening day.
No, they do not.
Of course they do.
Well, Okay, I'll wear a brand new pair of boots.
A lot of people
do. Feel better?
But no suit.
No suit.
Just an excuse to get a new pair of boots.
Yeah.
What kind of boots best with a suit?
Well, I like the Ostrich.
The Ostrich?
Yeah, they're the most comfortable boot, and you'll see those. I got a couple new pair of Ostrich that I'll be wearing.
All right. Save those for the regular season.
Love it.
I love shoe talk with Randy Jones, which is generally boots talk with Randy.
Great.
All right, good question, though, from Pomerantz.
Hey,
we're going to follow up with you throughout the season on this and continue to bring
I'll give you an update.
All right, that's Randy Jones on the Cholula Hot Seat. We'll take a break when we come back. Matt Kemp will join us here from Peoria. Meanwhile, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We roll on from Peoria after this. Right fielder Matt Kemp joins us to talk about his first spring in a Padre uniform.
The offseason was impressive, and we're hoping the regular season will be too. But first, it's spring training. Now, more of Padre Social Hour broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona.
Padre Social Hour from Peoria. Remember, though, the opening series weekend presented by Saquon is right around the corner. You got the party in the park on Friday, post-game laser show on Saturday, military opening day and kids fest on Sunday, unforgettable weekend at Petco coming up, April 10th, 11th, 12th, after that home opener on the 9th. Get your tickets today to experience the fun and watch the Padres and the Giants. Padres.com/tickets, Padres.com/tickets. RJ, we got Matt Kemp, by the way, coming up in just a moment.
Beautiful.
Opening day, home opener, always fun, always special. Am I out of line by saying this year maybe a little bit more so?
You're not out of line at all. I think it's pretty exciting. And we always talk about, Padre, let's get off to a fast start the last few years.
Here we go.
We reflect back. I mean, it's going to come up. We all get up to kind of a slow start. And I think that might be changing, for what we have here. There's so many different ways. I think we have the ability to win ball games now than we had before. And I hope that shows up relatively soon.
Yeah. Every week I put this conversation off. Every week on this show I've said, we'll talk about it later. But maybe we're there.
You just brought it up.
The fast start. I mean, what can a team do? Because nobody wants to get off to a slow start. For the last couple of years it's been an issue. And you see it every season with teams. It's hard to dig out from that. And you say, hey, there's 162 of them. And if you're going to get your 90 wins, it doesn't matter really how they're coming across. But it's harder to get to 90 or whatever the magic number might be if you get off to the slow start.
Jesse, the one thing I did notice the other day against the Giants here, game boy was like it was 10-5. We hit four home runs.
Yeah.
And just looking at that lineup that we put in there, and all of a sudden it got very, very interesting. And in talking to a couple of the Giant coaches afterwards, they looked at me and go, well, this could be very interesting. I mean, there's nobody in this lineup you can pitch around. You have so many guys. Everybody doesn't have to have a great day all the time. You just need one of those key elements to pick the team up. And remember, this is a better pitching staff, in my opinion, than we had last year. Mm-hmm. And when how good our record was if we scored, three or more runs or four runs.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a lot more realistic. We're going to score more runs. And I think the starting pitchers know that. So they can stay in a game a little bit longer. And it's going to be interesting. But I don't think they're going to have that struggle in April like we've seen.
All right, I hope you're right. And just kind of something Scans was talking about earlier, too, is the bullpen. I mean, it was a major, major, major strength last year, even after the Houston Street trade with the Angels. And coming back, and you look up and down, I mean, there's going to be guys fighting probably till the very last day of spring training.
That's right.
To make that bullpen.
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. And that's what you really want to see. It's a dream. You're going to take the best 12 pitchers, I would assume, this ball will carry, maybe even 13. But with off days, it's usually one less. You look at Jose Valverde, how well he's thrown the baseball. You have Brandon Maurer coming out with a little bit of herky-jerky motion, but, attacking hitters and going right at the plate, very, very impressive. And all these guys are bidding, for these spots. And you get the basic Nick Vincent looks good, Dale Thayer, Benoit's ready to go. There's no doubt about that. So it's going to be very, very interesting. The left-hander Torres is going to be there,
yeah,
I would think. So there's a few spots open. It's going to be amazing who's going to make those spots.
All right, let's move on from pitching. We've talked a lot about pitching. Let's talk a little bit more offense, and we'll do it with a guy that is expected to provide a ton of it in the middle of the lineup this year, Matt Kemp. He sat down with us a couple of days ago. Hey, Matt, so far so good?
So far so good. Out here in spring training, another spring training in Arizona. It's always a beautiful out here around this time of the year, and it's always good to be back out here on the baseball field.
We obviously see the way you're swinging the bat. Does it feel good for you so far?
Feels good, yeah. I mean, still working out some kinks here and there, but you know, it's a spring training. This is where you make your mistakes, so you don't make the mistakes when you get to the season.
You talk about working out kinks. Is that a cage thing? Is that a BP thing? Is that a game thing?
So everything. Getting in the cage, getting your reps in. You know, working on your strengths and your weaknesses, and like I said, just smoothing out all the rough areas that you have in your game.
Throughout your career, you consider yourself a fast starter in spring training usually?
It just depends. You know, sometimes it's hit or miss, but you know, by that. The last 2 weeks of spring training, I like to be locked in and ready to go. It's always good to go into the season feeling really, really good, and that's how you get to a fast start and able to do what you can do.
So up until those last 2 weeks, it's just kind of figuring it out, getting comfortable.
Yeah, you're figuring it out, getting comfortable. I mean, you're not trying to go out there in spring training games and mess up. That's not the thing you want to do, but. It's not. You don't get in a panic mode when you're not feeling right or not feeling good at the plate. Only time you probably get in panic mode is towards the middle of the season, not the beginning. But it's a long season, long stretch, and a lot of baseball to be played.
Yeah. All right. You know how this whole thing works. Back to back the other day with Upton, that was fun for us watching. This is a nice little lineup we could have here.
Definitely a nice lineup. A lot of right-handed power. A lot of guys that have done some special things over their career. And are going to continue to do special things, and I feel like this year is going to be a very exciting season.
Talk some defense with you. I've seen you out there a couple of times working with Dave Roberts, mm-hmm. Jose Valentin, just trying to get better. I mean, yeah. At this point in your career?
I mean, that's with anybody. Anybody that's a good defensive person or is even not that good of a defensive person out there, extra work, you know, getting your reps in, getting the feel for being back out there in the outfield. Pretty much comes natural, but it's always good to get out there and get moving around and work on some things and working on jumps and your footwork and things like that.
I've heard from people that's maybe the thing you can sort of most impact with practice in baseball is like that's one of those things you really do work hard at it. You can transform.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not something you just go out there and become a good defensive player. It's something you got to work at, and just like with hitting, you got to work at hitting. You can't always just be able to roll out of bed and be able to hit. Some people can maybe be able to do that, but a lot of the greats are always in the cage working on their strengths and their weaknesses, trying to get better.
As a hard worker, and you are, we've seen it a lot in every way, as we kind of mentioned. Is that a leadership thing for you, too, maybe some of these younger guys around here in camp being like, hey, man, Matt Kemp's a superstar. He's working his tail off. Maybe I should
say. I think all superstars or great baseball players work hard. And I think younger guys do see that, and they can try to relate to it or try to, go off of what the veteran guys do. Because I know when I was growing up as a young guy, I was looking at those older guys, seeing what type of work ethic they had and seeing how they go about their business. And all the greats work hard and always trying to improve on something.
Where you get this many new guys together in a room, I think everybody wants to talk about clubhouse chemistry and gelling and all that. So how's the clubhouse so far?
Oh, clubhouse has been great. I think chemistry comes with winning. I've learned that being on some.
Yeah, there's chemistry right now.
Yeah. I've learned that being on some great teams that like I've said before, not everybody's going to always get along. You're in a room with 25, 30 guys for a long period of time every day, more than you are with your family. So there are going to be some guys that get on your nerves, but you know, when you go out there on the baseball field, you have that one common goal, and that's trying to win games. But I mean, the chemistry in the clubhouse has been great so far. Everybody's loose and having fun, and I mean, that's just what baseball is all about.
It's not just the players, of course. Buddy Black, something maybe you've learned about Buddy these last couple of weeks that you couldn't know or didn't know when, you know, he was on the other side.
Very laid-back individual. Wants everybody to work hard. He wants everybody to be really good at their craft. And, he's just a funny guy. What I like about him is he's good with chemistry in the clubhouse and making people getting to know each other as far as little things we do in spring training and during our meetings when get to know people, something I've never really experienced. And I mean, there's maybe like 50 guys in the clubhouse, and I think I know something about each one of them. And you know, I give all the thanks to Buddy because he makes us know everybody in that clubhouse and where they're from and what high school they went to and some little fun fact about them. So I'm very informed on some of my teammates that I probably wouldn't know or have never known.
That's really cool and very interesting. You also know about their basketball skills, some of them at least. We've got the hoop right over here over my left shoulder.
Yeah.
Best shot on the team belongs to, and you can say yourself.
Matt Camp. Matt Camp. Jericho has a really good shot. We got a lot of guys in here that have really good strokes, so it's going to be interesting, a little competition that we have going on here in spring training, and hopefully my team Camp, wins the competition.
It is a shooting competition, no one-on-one anything.
No
like
one-on-one,
that.
No banging or anything. We're just
no elbows.
Straight shooting. That's it.
You got a GM who can compete as well. How about
that? He's got a pretty good stroke. But I told him yesterday he wouldn't be able to get that shot off on me, so it'd be some trouble. But he's got a nice little shot.
Oh yeah, the basketball is a big time competition out here.
Yeah, and AJ thinks you can play. That's interesting.
AJ's got like a little Iverson to him. That's the scouting report. I don't know how much of a distributor he is. He tries to finish from that point guard. Well, anyway, less basketball talk. I want to follow up on something Matt Kemp said right there that I thought was really, really interesting. He says he's never been in a situation where he knows this much about all of the guys in the clubhouse as he does. And it's not just a thing that Buddy is doing because of all the new guys. It's something Buddy always does.
That's right.
You know, those morning meetings, you're in there,
yep.
You know, getting these guys to be more human to each other in a way. You know, getting to know each other as people.
Exactly. I mean, it might be different. It might be video of one of the guys, you know. Like the other day, I think there was a little Middlebrook was a quarterback in high school and everything. So they had some footage of him playing quarterback. And he got some chuckles watching him do that with a little background music. Or it might be making Guerrero talk about everybody from Columbia that ever played in the major leagues. But having them get out front of all the guys and talk a little bit and break the ice.
Yeah.
You came, you know, you get into competition, yeah, but still you get to know the guys, know a little bit about everybody. And whether it be, you know, Jay Upton or Matt Kemp, nobody's excluded. Everybody kind of gets involved in those morning meetings and Buddy makes sure they do. It's really a lot of fun.
I just thought that was really neat. And, you know, Buddy's been here for so long, it's easy to be like, yeah, that's just kind of the status quo thing that the teams do. But you hear Matt Kemp saying, hey, I've never been in a situation where I've known as much about my teammates as I do now. And that's thanks to Buddy Black.
And so far, you know, I'll say, I've been here, 10 days, 11 days. But, you know, I think Upton and Matt Kemp are embracing the kind of a leadership role that they come in with. It comes with the territory and getting traded over here. But I think they've stepped up and been great teammates in communicating with the other players. It's been good.
Kemp, a fun guy to talk to, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good dude. Good personality. Doesn't, you know, come off as too big for anything. He's a good guy to hang out with.
Yeah, just love the game, man. They play the game.
Absolutely. All right, fun stuff there. Thanks to Matt Kemp for stopping by. Padres Social, we're running out of time, but that's okay because we got baseball coming up. So you just want to continue to stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, FanFest is coming up before you know it. 2015 FanFest is presented by State Farm. It is at Petco Park on Saturday, April 4th. Again, it'll be here before you know it, and it is free for the entire family. It's an event to celebrate you, the fan, so don't miss your chance to get up close and personal with players and coaches. Free passes are now available at Padres.com/FanFest. It's free to get in, but you got to get the pass.
You got to get a pass.
Because you need a seat, because there's a game that's part of FanFest this year. They're playing the Rojos. Yeah, the Red Devils of Mexico City. So go to Padres.com/FanFest. You sign up for your ticket. It's free, but you got to sign up for you and everybody that's coming.
We hope to see you. You don't want to miss that exhibition game.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a neat deal. It really is. So that's April 4th at Petco Park. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up Social Hour right after this.
It's time to meet the new faces and get ready for the new season. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the Peoria Sports Complex and Padres Spring Training.
All right, wrapping up Padres Social Hour with Randy Jones here in Peoria. Kind of a rare overcast afternoon here in Arizona, but it's nice.
It's warm.
It means it's not 98 degrees in the beating sun like it normally is.
It can get a little dicey and warm out here.
You find some shade.
Good for the players.
And you wear the sunscreen. Yeah, it keeps everything loose, right?
What I really like is a lot of these dugouts in spring training. It's shake and bake time. It's just so hot in that dugout. There's only 60 of us down there.
Yeah, no, it's not cramped at all. It's not cramped at all.
Man.
You got guys sitting on each other's laps in the dugout. There's so many people
pretty close,
in there. Yeah, no, almost. Hey, this was a lot of fun. Thanks to Bob Scanlon. Thanks to Dennis Lynn. And thanks to Matt Kemp. Hey, this has felt different this year and in a good way, and it's been a lot of fun. And, hey, always good to see you hanging out, looking good.
I appreciate you letting me sit in Bill Center's seat. This is really nice.
Listen, don't let him get a big head. It is not Bill Center's
seat. All right.
He has no ownership of it.
I thought I heard Blooper say that. Maybe I was just –
Since when does he have good information?
True.
He never has good information. Yeah. Hey, coming up next on Fox Sports San Diego, you got the Padres and the Rangers live baseball here from Peoria in Arizona. Thanks to RJ. Thanks to Kemp. Thanks to Scanlon. Thanks to Dennis Lynn. And remember, as always, if you missed any of these interviews, you check them out at Padres.com. Our next show will be this coming Friday, night game, and so a night show. Padres and the Royals Friday night. We'll be on right before that. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the game.